Blog Talk Radio.
To the actual
you know, date that the church actually started this ministry, which is in November, the 18th. That gives me a little bit more time to, I wanted to do something for everyone, and I couldn't make up my mind, and I, you know, didn't want to be out of order in doing anything. But, you know, I think I want to do prayer shawls for the men and the head covering for the women, just, you know, to send you something. I will see. Nevertheless, we pray that everybody is doing well and that, you know, I'm still kind of feel like I'm on and off with this bronchitis thing that I had going on. Seems like it's finally, you know, I stopped using the inhaler that they gave me for when I actually could not breathe. I stopped using it, so it looks like the stuff that's in there is starting to come out. And, you know, we pray to the Most High that he gets it all out, let it all come out, so that I can go back to normal. That being said, remember we have the Feast of Trumpets and the New Moon coming up in September. We have the Day of Atonement. We got the Day of Tabernacles coming up in September, a busy month. And so we want to be preparing for it. You know, glad to hear that our sister is doing well. She's just being to herself. That's all, you know, that's all good. We pray for everybody out there who is being faithful, who are trying to, you know, walk in the way of the Most High. I will say something to that. Watch what you give adoration to. You know, I had been hearing about Mother Nature a couple of times, and it sort of didn't sit well in my spirit. And then Most High woke me up like early in the morning and sort of dealt with me on that, you know, that I can't just let that go unaddressed. That Mother Nature thing is a way of deifying the earth and worshiping the earth. Okay, and so, you know, I had to go and I had to actually look it up. Seems like it's something innocent, like, you know, the Easter Bunny. What can the Easter Bunny do to you except for it has nothing to do with Messiah or, you know, our salvation? And so when I looked up this Mother Earth thing, we have to be very careful in these areas because, you know, there are people who worship the earth, and they, you know, they call the earth their mother, and they glorify the earth in that way. And the Most High said the earth is his. The world and all they that dwell in it belong to him, and the earth does too. So he told us don't make, you know, an image of any of the things in the heavens that's on the earth, under the earth, or in the earth, okay? And that includes the earth itself. So, you know, we want to make sure that we are only giving praise and worship to the Most High Elohim and nothing else, because it's very easy to place something in a form of worship and you may not even realize that you're doing it. Maybe it's not your intent. But the truth of the matter is, that particular thing can be a problem. So, you know, we don't want to be addressing, you know, Mother Earth. She's not our mother. The earth didn't produce itself. The earth didn't produce man. The Most High took, you know, formed man from the earth, but the earth itself did not produce man. So the earth is not man's mother. We come out of it, but we're never to consider it to be our mother. Okay? So we got to understand that we got to stay away from those things because it can cause us to worship something that we ought not to be worshiping, to be giving praise to something and credit to something that we ought not be giving credit to. So, you know, I just want to kind of admonish us on that we stay away from that. Yeah, that we stay away from it, okay? Because we don't want to be worshiping anything other than the Most High. And so some things that, you know, they may seem innocent can put us in a bad place. Okay, that being said, on this evening, we will be dealing with, still dealing with the Elohim of the blood covenant. And we are, you know, continuing our review in the law. And we want to continue this review so that we can be acting out of according to knowledge and not according to, you know, what somebody told us, but we have read it, looked into it. Hopefully you're doing your own study on it as well. There's, you know, no harm in that. But also make sure that, you know, whatever you're reading and your understanding, make sure you check it in. It's just important so that we can be on one page and that we're worshiping the Most High in spirit and in truth. That being said, let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thing. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We glorify you today. We honor you today, Father. We worship you and you alone, Father, for you are Elohim and you are Elohim all by yourself. And so, Father, we just want to glorify you and lift you up and magnify your name today and to honor you in our words, in our deeds, in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts, Father. You and you alone. You and you alone, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Elohim. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent of our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wickedness. And Father, we are repenting of our wickedness and turning from our wicked ways. Father, and we wish and will obey your voice. So Father, hear our prayer now and our supplications, and our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake us and give us an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, your statutes, and commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8. Starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make unto thee, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be upon, may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spake by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar people unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before thee this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of His word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. I get so excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high to worship you. My need, all praise. Up high to worship you, my knee. I vow to be humble. Yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation. Only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise to worship you. Bow down. All praise to you, up high, to worship you, yeah. I need you, yeah, I need you. Yeah, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. I really need you.
There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen it.
over and over. I have a home found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way to the
starting in verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which I have commanded, that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest, to Yah. Whosoever does work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which I commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto Yah. Whosoever is of willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of Yah, gold and silver and brass. Now, this is a review of what we went over last time. And blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and the onyx stones, and the stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. and every wise heart among you shall come and make all that Yah has commanded. All right, so the Most High is asking him for an offering, a free will offering. We went over this last time. We also know that to work on the Sabbath or to kindle a fire on the Sabbath was a death sentence. So, you know, these are not things that we are to take lightly. The Most High says he wanted the people to bring him an offering willingly, only accept those offerings that the people brought willingly. If you don't bring it willingly, if you don't give it to him willingly because you want to give it, the Most High don't want it. Just that simple. So he's going through and he's telling them the things to bring for the offering. We're not going to go back through all of these again. Let's drop down to verse 21. Verse 21. And they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought Yah's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service and for all the holy garments. And they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto Yah. So these people that came, they came what? Willingly to bring the offering unto the Most High. Okay, and so today, as I said on last week when we did this, This appears to be an issue amongst the church, amongst, you know, especially amongst my Hebrew brothers and sisters. A free will offering. Yeah, I just want to do this for you. I want to give this to you. Okay? And they didn't look, these people didn't look as they were giving these gifts to Aaron and to, you know, the Levitical priesthood or to Moses. The Most High said, bring me an offering willingly to me. Where are you going to take it to? Just throw it outside or bring it to my priesthood? Okay? Let's keep going. Verse 25. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both blue and purple and scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and the spice and the oil for the light, and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yah, every man and woman whose heart was made. Let me read that again. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yah, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which Yah had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, the Yah has called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the spirit of Elohim, in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he has put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahashma, of the tribe of Dan. Them has he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and in fine linen and the weaver, even them that do any work and those that devise cunning work. The Most High will equip us to do the work he has assigned us to do. He will equip somebody to do with wisdom in whatever particular area, even if it's one man to teach others. Or if it's multiple people, he will make it to where it's possible for you to complete the instruction. Okay, we just have to have people who are what? Willing heart. That will open their minds, open their heart to the Most High. But as he said, of a willing heart. And he says that over again. All these people came were of a willing heart to do what the Most High had asked. And all those that weren't willing, they didn't come. And the Most High didn't want, you know, anything from them. Exodus chapter 36, starting in verse 1. Then brought Bezaleel and Aholiab, every wise-hearted man in whom Yah put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of the work of the service of the sanctuary, according to all that Yah had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in those whose heart Yah had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought or worked all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the work, for the service of the work which Yah commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from giving. These people were coming and they were bringing, they bought way more than was actually needed. And they had to say, whoa. It's, you know, it's too much, it's enough. So the people were of what? A willing heart. There were probably some that didn't, but the vast overwhelming majority of them kept wanting to bring free will offerings every morning. And see, this is something that I think is lost on a lot of people, that to give a free will offering, yeah, I just want to give this to you. This is how I feel about you. Okay? That is probably... And I'm going to say it's probably greater than even a tithe. The Most High said the tithe is his. So we don't ever get, you know, an opportunity to say, well, no, I'm going to make this an offering. It's just your tithe. It's your tithe. But your free will offering. This is what, you know, it's like what Cain and Abel gave in the garden. It was a free will offering. I just want to give you something. I want to bless you, Most High Elohim. And this is my offering to you. That's what that free will offering. It's not something that was required. It's something that the people give because they have a willing heart to give to the Most High. And each and every one of us, you know, we have to look within ourselves and say, what do I want to do for the Most High Elohim that he hasn't asked me to do? Something that I can give to him of my own free will, without there being a requirement. Because your tithe is required. If it's mine, if it's a tenth is mine, it's holy unto me. You get it, but it don't belong to you. It belongs to him. But your free will offering is yours. And what you want to give without the Most High actually asking you to give it. So just take that into your spirit. Because we want to do things that are pleasing to our Father. We want to do things that put a smile on his face. You mean you just want to give me that just because? I didn't have to make you. I didn't have to tell you. You want to make an offering to me that is to put a smile on my face. So it's like somebody in your life that you've been taken care of, you raised, or, you know, you've helped, and you've been there for, and then one day they just come to you and say, hey, I'd like to give this to you, just because you're you and who you are. That's what your free will offering is. You know, they're not giving it to you because they feel like they owe you. They're giving it to you because they feel like you deserve it. They want to honor you. Okay? All right. Let's go to the book of, because we're not going to read all the things for the tabernacle. I have those things marked, but the truth of the matter is they're not going to, they won't be in, they're not in the new covenant. Okay. All right. Let's continue. Let's go to the book of, I want to go to Leviticus chapter 1. Yeah, let's go to Leviticus chapter 1. The book of Leviticus chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto Yah, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary. Now, this is a free will offering. You want to bring me an offering, and you are a herdsman? You are, you know, you grow cattle or whatever, or this is what the society lives by. He's saying, I want you to bring it to me, a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntarily. Will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yah. Now, here's the requirement to bring these types of sacrifices where? Voluntarily. At the door of the tabernacle. And that's a commandment, okay, for these types of sacrifices. Now, where this is important at, before this time, Israel could make their sacrifices at their house, at their tent, wherever their temporary dwelling, wherever they were staying at, because they were, he allowed it. That's the only thing I can say. But now he's not allowing it. He's saying, hey, if they make a sacrifice, they got to bring it to the door of the tabernacle. Okay? Because what was happening, and I have to find the verse that made this important. What was happening was they were sacrificing their animals to other Elohim, to demons and to all other kind of stuff. And the Most High said, any man that was caught sacrificing their offering, not at the door of the tabernacle, was to die. Because, that you know, it just, within them to just do wickedness. So he forces them to bring it to the door of the tabernacle. Okay, and if I can remember where that verse is at, I will read it so you understand that, you know, it's not something that Brother Miles is making up, but that they really were doing these things and that the Most High stopped it with this right here. And so it became a sin. But that also let me know that if any of us are trying to do animal sacrifice, because, as I said, Messiah is the sin offering. He's the sin offering, but there's other offerings. That, you know, the meal offering, the free will offering, what he's just talking about, okay? These are not for sin, just because you want to bless the Most High. But they were doing it away from the tabernacle. He said, no, if you're going to make me an offering, you got to bring it to the tabernacle so that the priesthood can observe or do it. Don't be sacrificing something to me out there in the wild or at your tent or at your house. Don't do it, okay? So that let me know that in these days that we can't do animal sacrifice, any other animal type of animal sacrifice, because we have no tabernacle door to bring it to. Can't just build a house and then say, oh, I'm going to bring my sacrifice here. I can't just go put up a building and say, oh, I'm going to bring a sacrifice here, unless the Most High actually tells me that. Okay. And, you know, he would have to tell me that after I read these scriptures. I mean, I would have to hear it. Go build a house over here and build up an altar out of out of the natural elements. No, let no tool come upon it. So it has to be earthen, and you can make your free will offering. You can make your peace offering. You can make, you know, whatever other offerings that are not for sin, in other words. But after I read this right here, and I read the verses where he said, don't do it, then I know that if anybody's trying to do it without this altar or the temple in place, then they are out of order according to the law, according to the covenant. Okay? And so these sacrifices would not enter into the new covenant. Now, when Messiah returns and he reinstitutes the temple, then these things can be carried out. And we're going to, you know, when we study the third temple, we will see that those animal sacrifices are reinstituted again. But we can't do them in our day. Okay? So, because I had thought about it. Trust me. I had thought about it. I'm like, you know, I'd like to make a meal offering to the Most High. I'd like to make a peace offering to the Most High. I'd like to make a free will offering, a blood offering to the Most High. But, you know, he even got to correct me. And I thank him that he did. You know, because this thing was in my heart to do at one time. And, you know, through the study and what have you, he showed me, no, you can't do that. So, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, I didn't just go off half-cocked and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get me a sheep. I'm going to bring it, and I'm going to sacrifice it. That would not have turned out to be a good thing at all. So, you know, the Most High didn't allow me to go do it. It wasn't in my, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was doing the right thing, that it was permissible, because it was in my heart to do it. And he showed me no, and this is why you can't. Okay, so we want to be obedient, you know, and no matter, we might think we're trying to do a good, but the Most High will show you, if you allow him to, whether you can or cannot, and why. So I know I cannot, and I know why I cannot. Okay, and I praise him for that, because he didn't allow me to go down that road, even though it was in my mind and heart to do it, you know, at some point. But I know that, no, we can't do those things, and so you won't have to worry about that coming out of my mouth. Okay, we're going to be obedient to him. Let me see something here. Let me see if I can find this verse real quick. Okay, you're welcome. Give me one moment here. Okay, that's not it. Okay, I'll look for this and find it. To show you that this is the reason why we can't do that. Okay. Yeah, we'll just continue. I'll find it and let you know. But I really want you to see that so that you know and that you have the scripture concerning it, because you'll hear brothers out there talk about making, you know, a blood sacrifice. But this is the reason why they cannot do it. Okay, let's continue. We're in Leviticus chapter 1. Okay. Verse 3 again, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3 again. If his offering be a burnt offering of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yah. So again, I want to reiterate, this is a free will offering. It's not for sin. This is somebody that just wants to make an offering to the Most High. Okay? And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted of him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before Yah, and the priest and Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood about the altar by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And his priest and Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash with water, and the priest shall burn all upon the altar for a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yah. So your free will offering, that which you give to the Most High that is not for sin, it was a sweet savor in his nose, in his nostrils. He said, you wanted to give me an offering. This is what you will bring me. And you will burn it, give it to the priest, and he'll cut it up the right way, and he'll place it on the altar. He'll wash it and do all this stuff and place it on the altar, and then he will burn it on the altar as a sweet savor, a sweet smell unto Yah. Now, when we turn around and we had to make that same offering, but it was for our sin, then the Most High didn't want that. He says, you know, I never really wanted to kill these animals for your sin. I like the way the fat on the animal smells. It's a sweet smell in my nose. But when it's for your sin, it stinks. The blood and bull and goats, I never wanted. But I had to do something to allow you to make atonement until Mashiach could come. But your peace offering, your will, you know, your free will offering, those are a sweet savor, a sweet smell in my nostril. I love the way that smells. Okay, now we can't do those offerings today. We're supposed to offer ourselves that way. That means that, you know, we can't be running around willfully sinning. We can't be running around doing things we ought not do if we're going to offer ourselves as that living sacrifice, acceptable to him. And it'll be a sweet smell in his nose when you are not willfully sinning and you are obeying his voice and you are sending up praises to him. You're worshiping him. You're giving him glory and honor and praise. It's a sweet smell in his nose. Okay? So, you know, it's important that we as a people understand that not every sacrifice that was made for sin. And not every animal that was killed and blood was shed was made for sin. Your free will offering. Yeah, I just want to make a sacrifice to you. I just want to make an offering to you. Not because I have to. Not because you ordered it. But because I just want to express my feelings for you. That's what that free will offering was all about. You know, in the New Testament it says, every man according as he purposed in his heart. What is it that you want to do for the Most High? What is it that you want to give him? That's not required of you. You have to think about that thing and say, you know, this is what I would like to do for you this year. Most High. It's not something that you say that you that you're in the pew, and all of a sudden you say, "Oh, I got $100 in my pocket. I think I'll give that to you, Most High." That's putting no thought behind it. It's a spur of the moment thing. But the Most High wants you to think about, wants you to purpose. What do you want to give to Him as a free will offering? So this goes towards your heart and how you feel about the Most High Elohim. And like I said, your tithe don't belong to you. The Most High said it's His automatically. It's already His. And if you don't give it to Him, you're robbing Him. Will a man rob Elohim? Where and how have we robbed you? In tithe and offering. That's what He says. That's how you rob me. He says, the tithe is mine. And then you don't even give me an offering. You don't even show your appreciation for me blessing you. So we got to understand that your free will offering, that's what the Most High wants from you. And if you don't want to give it freely, don't give anything. Trust me, don't. Because He don't want it. He's not going to bless you behind it. Because, you know, you gave it because you felt like you needed something or you wanted some favor or you thought it was required. He said, no, I want you to give me an offering that ain't no pressure on you to give it. Give it because you want to give it. Give it because you purpose to give it. He says, then I will receive it. And because you did it willfully, then I will bless you abundantly because you've been pleasing to Him. Okay, so we want to make sure that when you are, if you carry this into the New Testament in your offering, in your free will, it's in there, every man according as he purposed in his heart. So it wasn't done away with in the covenant. But you can't bring a bull or a goat. It has to be you. And then it has to be something that you want to do for Him or give to Him. Because you want to give it. So, and it's something that you have to have thought about. Can't be the spur of the moment because you're in the heat of the moment and you got something on you. Well, I'll give you this. No, He wants you to think about it. What do I want to do for the Most High? What do I want to give Him this year? Purpose it. So we will find this in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, in that form. Okay. Let's continue. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1. So do something to put a sweet savor, a sweet smell in the Most High's nostrils. Because, see, I really do, and, you know, I'm saying this in love and in understanding that what happened to Cain and Abel and why Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable to the Most High. Okay, because it wasn't, you know, he didn't give him his best, but it also wasn't in his heart to give it. And we don't want to be offering Cain type of offerings. Because, you know, the Most High will turn his nose up at it. You thinking you're doing it good. He's like, I ain't accepting that. And see, most people can't see the Most High doing that, even though he tells us he does that. Cain, your sacrifice was not acceptable. Somehow, you know, it's like people can't see the Most High saying that. We read it, but then it's like we dismiss it. He would never do that. But yeah, you know, because I guess because it's us, our, you know, whatever we want to give Him, you know, He's got to accept that. But He doesn't have to accept it. And He shows us in the scripture that He's got high standards. And just because we want to make him an offering, if we don't make it acceptable to him, he says, I ain't accepting that. And, you know, I guess we get like Cain and get offended. Why are you down in your countenance? What you mad about? Why you ain't accept my offering? It wasn't good enough. So you got to find some kind of way to be better. You know, you can't just pick up something, throw it together, and give it to me and say, I'm supposed to accept it. Because he won't. And that's what, you know, I really want us to understand. So if you purposely give him something, don't just throw something together. But remember, this is showing how you feel about him. So don't just throw something together to say that you know, I gave an offering. Because he won't accept it. You know, I don't care where you turn it in at. The Most High won't accept it. And you want him to accept it. You want it to be pleasing to him. You want it to be a sweet smell in his nose. So, you know, just telling you what frame of mind that you got to have so that you don't get rejected. Okay? Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 1. And when any will offering, and when any will offer a meat offering unto Yah, his offering shall be of fine flour. And he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense on it. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. And he shall take there out his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire, a sweet smell unto Yah. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of Yah made by fire. It's just like Moses said, you know, this thing pleases me. And if thou will bring an oblation of meat offering, baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be of meat offering bacon in a pan, it shall be of fine flour unleavened mingled with oil. And thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. Now understand, there is no meat in this offering. This is all flour and oil. But it's called a meat offering, but there's no meat in it. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baking in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto Yah. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yah, a sweet smell. None of these are for what sin. It's as you could afford it. So if you could afford a cow or a sheep and you wanted to bring that as an offering, a free will offering, then he tell you what it had to be. It had to be a male. It had to be without blemish. He told you how it had to be prepared. It was a sweet male. Then if it was a meat offering, then this is how you prepare it. And it was a sweet male. Okay, it was made by fire, and it was not for sin. Okay? And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of Yah made by fire. No meat offering which you shall bring unto Yah shall be made with leaven, no yeast in it. For you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in an offering of Yah made by fire. So Yah doesn't want an offering with leaven in it. nor does he want it with any honey. He don't want it sweetened either. You shall not burn it on the altar. Okay? As for the oblation of the first fruits, you shall offer them unto Yah, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. And every oblation of meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy Elohim to be lacking from thy meat offering. Put the salt on the meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Salt has some properties to it that are cleansing, that are healing, that are preservative. And he says, you shall offer your meat offering with salt, but not with leaven. And the leaven in the scriptures always represented what? Sin. Okay? 99 times out of 100, when it's talking about leaven in the scriptures, it's talking about sin. There's that small 1% where it's not. But he says, hey, your offering shall not be made with leavening, and it shall not be made with honey. But you shall salt it, though. Salt has a special, like I said, it's got some special properties to it. A preservative, a flavor, a cleanser. Okay? And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto Yah, thou shalt offer the meat offering of thy first fruits, green corn, green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon, and it is a meat offering. See, there is no meat in this. The actual corn or the flour is the meat. Okay? That's why when you read back in Genesis, and he says that the green herbs of the field shall be meat to you. It means food. You're not going to have no animal meat in it. Okay? And not to say that they could bring an animal as a free will offering. Okay? But that was according to as you could afford it, and it had to be prepared a certain way. And then when it was burnt upon the altar, most I said, it's your offering to me. It's a sweet savor, a sweet smell in my nostrils. Okay? These meat offerings with the flour or the corn, flavored with the oil, salted, part of it burnt upon your offering, part of it burnt upon the altar. The Most High says it's a sweet savor. It's a sweet smell in his nostril. The rest of it was to be given to the priesthood. Okay. And thou shalt put oil upon it, verse 15, and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. So they beat out the corn. They put some oil on it. Put some frankincense on it. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it. That's like a handful. That's the memorial of it. Part of the beaten corn thereof and part of the oil thereof with all the frankincense. So part of the corn, part of the oil, but all the frankincense had to be burnt on the altar. And it is an offering made by fire unto Yah. Okay. So, we want to make sure we understand that every sacrifice that was made, this is why, before I had read those other, the verse where he says it's got to be brought to his, to the door of the altar, the door of the tabernacle. It's even these right here that don't have any animal parts in it. So I can't just go get some corn and beat it out, take some olive oil and drizzle it over it, some frankincense and throw it on there, because part of that has to go on the what? Altar. To the Most High. We don't have that altar here. So we can't make those offerings. Okay? We become that living sacrifice. And so we need to look at how do we give ourselves as an acceptable offering to the Most High. Because he likes his offerings, but he likes them the way he likes them, and he don't want you making it up. He don't want you doing what's right in your own eyes. He don't want you hearing about how somebody did it to another deity that they worship. Something that they worship. Oh, this is what I do. That sounds good. I think I'll do that for the Most High. I'll dedicate it to him. He says, oh, no, hell you won't. He won't take it. Okay? It tells us not to do it. So, you know, we want to be obedient. We want to do things that are right before him because we don't want to. He just don't play that way. And I'm telling you, people, you know, think that they can just offer anything. They can just make it up. You can feel like you want to do a right. You want to do a good, not necessarily a right, but a good. You think you're doing a good, but you got to check that thing in first with the Most High. Is it acceptable to do? Because are you going to be doing this thing and he don't want it? No, not for me. Yeah, I know you mean to do well, but I've burnt up people for less. Hear what I'm saying to you. Because this is what the Most High Elohim, what he shows us in the scripture. So, you know, we can want to do a good thing. We can think we're doing a good thing and be doing a bad. And then get before him and think that, you know, we got a good record. And he'd be like, get away from me. I knew you not. I never knew you. You thought you were doing those things to me? Did you ever even look to find out what was acceptable to me? So in this law, he's telling us what was acceptable and what was not. And it's a frame of mind. He wants you to do it willfully. But you've got to also be in obedience or obey his voice. And so, yeah, I have to find that scripture now so to make sure that, you know, we don't think that, oh, we got the authority to offer this free will offering to the Most High when you don't. Okay, because you want to do something that's pleasing to him. And like I said, I've been there. He had to show me. And I thank him for showing me because, yeah, it would not have been pleasing to him, okay? So I thank him for showing me before I went down that road and don't know what might have happened. You know, he might have said, you know what, I chose you to do this and you're going to do that? Get away from me. You know, yeah, and I don't want the Most High to say that to me ever. To say that. Okay, so all right, let's continue. All right, so the rest of chapter 2, well, we read that. Chapter 3 actually goes into, has one law in it concerning this about the frankincense. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or a female. Now, the free will offering had to be a male, if I'm remembering that correctly. Make sure that, it had to be a male without blemish. Couldn't bring a female. Now, here's a peace offering. And it can be male or female. And see in the details, you know, you have to be very detail oriented with the Most High because if you did it wrong, you know, if you did it wrong, if you did it out of order, if you didn't do it exactly the way he said to do it, hate to say it, but you died. Okay? And he says you have to sanctify him in these things. You have to set him apart and know that he is holy. and that you just don't do whatever you want to do, how you want to do it. If he has given you the procedure, that's how you do it. And if he hasn't given you the procedure, you don't do it. You know, you don't just think, well, you know, it'd be nice to do that. You don't do that with our Elohim. And so for whatever the reason, I don't know where this started. People just start making up stuff. People just start adding stuff. People start taking stuff, you know, from pagan deities and pagan worship and putting assigning it to the Most High. He said, don't do that. And then they think it's acceptable to him. And so when, as we're reading this, I want you to keep those things in mind, how they took Christmas and added him to it. They took Easter and added him to it. All these different pagan holidays that are so-called Christian holidays, how they have added to the added the Most High to them when he had nothing to do with them. And he's the type of Elohim that he wants things done exactly how he wants them done. He says, don't add to or take away from. He means that. And so, you know, as we're reading these things, I want us to understand that when you hear somebody say that they're going to do something, and they're going to do it, you know, and assign it to, you know, assign the Most High to it. You know, we'll do this and we'll use Yeshua's name. But it ain't got nothing to do with him. And even if it did, if he didn't order it, he don't allow it. That's what's so, I don't want to say crazy, but it is kind of crazy about it, because people think that they can just do whatever they want to do. And he's just supposed to allow it. But what they're going to find is themselves in judgment, and not in a good way. So I want you to pay attention to these things, because then when we start reading examples, and I'm going to make sure that we read the examples so that we understand that our Elohim, he got very high standards, and he has what he will accept and he has what he will not accept. And he's very clear on those things. So to do otherwise and say that, oh, he's got to accept it, then you are fooling yourself. You have lied to yourself. And this is what where I see a lot of people at. And then make it to where the Most High has got to accept it. It's got to be pleasing. It's got to be pleasing to him. When he says, on the contrary, everywhere. No. I want what I want. I've told you what I want, and I don't want more or less. Don't add to or take away from. And what I disallow or what I do away with, I do away with it. You don't do away with it. And what I add to it, I add to it. You don't add to it. You do what I told you to do. Obey my voice in all things. So if there's a change that comes, you got to know what the change is and if the Most High ordered it or not. So these things, you know, like I said, when we're reading this stuff, I want you to pay particular attention to those things, to this aspect of it, because it'll give you a true picture of the Most High Elohim, not one that people have made up, not one that you've been taught your whole life. The one that you see in Christianity and in most everything, not the Elohim of this book. They're taking some parts and some aspects of him. And this is what people have done. They've taken those parts of Elohim that they can stomach, that they can accept themselves. And anything that they can't accept, they just leave it out. So I want you to understand that. When we're reading this stuff, make sure that you understand and look for the Most High, what he said. If you work on the Sabbath, he says, it was death. If you pick up sticks, if you light a fire, it was death. He wasn't playing about that. And so the things that he says concerning these things, you got to really, 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 I want you to look for his mentality in it. This is how the Most High thinks about this. Okay, because people be making stuff up. I'm telling you, they be making it up. It's not the Elohim of this book. So he said, these things right here, these offerings made like this, they were a sweet smell in his nose. And if you wanted to bring a certain, you know, if you wanted to bring a free will offering, it had to be a male. If it was going to be an animal, it had to be a male without blemish. If you're going to bring a cow or a sheep. But now we're reading about, it's not a free will offering, it's a peace offering. He says, now this one can be either a male or a female. So let's say that you were intending to bring a free will offering and you brought a female animal. The Most High is going to automatically look at that as a what? Well, you're making a peace offering. Because you can't bring a female animal for a free will offering. Got to know the rules. Okay, let's continue. Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 1. And his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering. If he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before Yah. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar about it. And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto Yah, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flank, and of the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. Now, for the sin offering, he's got to leave these things. But for the peace offering, he says, the kidneys, the fat that's in them, which is by the flank and the caul above, and the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall put it on the altar upon the burnt offering sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yah. And his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto Yah be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. And if he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before Yah. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of the offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, and an offering made by fire unto Yah, and the fat thereof, and the whole rump. It shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flank, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto Yah. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before Yah. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about, and he shall offer thereof his burnt offerings, even an offering made by fire unto Yah, the fat that covers the inwards, and the fat, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flank, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire, a sweet savor. All the fat is Yah's. Did you know you weren't supposed to eat the fat of anything? How many of y'all then cooked a steak and then ate the fat thereof because it tasted good? I had done that before. All the fat is Yah's. Burning on that altar, it is a sweet savor unto him. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. How many of us knew that the fat was included in that? We knew you were supposed to pour out the blood on the ground, but how many of you knew you weren't supposed to be eating the fat either? Okay? So if you knew, all well and done. If you didn't know, now you know. Trim that fat off. The Most High don't want you to eat it. It was holy to him. Let's read that again. Verse 17. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Okay? So we got to know this because it didn't change. It's perpetual. Don't eat the blood because it has a life in it, and don't eat the fat because it belongs to Yah. Well, all right. See where we're at. Leviticus chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance. Now, we've covered this from other chapters, but we're going to read it here because I don't want y'all saying, Brother Miles cherry picking, Brother Miles taking away people's hope. You know what the Most High told me to tell them? Because this had been bothering me. Nobody told me to tell them. If you don't listen, you shall die in your sin. That's all I got to say. All right. Leviticus chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of Yah concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto Yah for a sin offering. Okay? But let's read this first part again, because I want us to understand. Go back to verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin, underline through ignorance. Because, see, people will read right over that just so if he sinned against any of the commandments. They'll read right over through ignorance. So underline in your Bible through ignorance. And let's move forward. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish, unto Yah for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yah, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before Yah. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood 7 times before Yah, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of a sweet incense before Yah, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covers the inwards and all the fat that is in upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flank, and the caul above the liver, which with the kidney, it shall he take away. And it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offering. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering, and the skin of the bullock and all his flesh, with his head and with the legs and with the inwards and with his dung, even the whole bullock shall be carried forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes were poured out, and burned him on the wood of the fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he burn. And the whole congregation of, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, underline through ignorance there, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of Yah concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty. Just because you do it in ignorance don't mean that you're not guilty. You are guilty. You just did it ignorantly. When the sin which they have sinned against is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock of the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands. Now the elders are laying their hands on it, because this is a sin of the whole congregation. And I told you the elders' position was to be over the people, to teach them the law and to enforce it. So the congregation has sinned, now you got the elders, the people in charge, shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before Yah, and the bullock shall be killed before Yah. And the priest that is anointed shall bring the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before Yah, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before Yah, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for the sin offering. So shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Now this is the whole congregation has sinned, but they sinned through what? Ignorance. Not willfully. Ignorance. Okay? If the priest did it, and he did it through ignorance, he could bring a sin offering. If the whole congregation was sinning through ignorance, then the elders would lay their hand upon that bullock and transfer the sins of the people to the bullock, that ignorant sin, and it will be sacrificed. And in the Most High said they would be forgiven. Okay? Verse 21. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. Notice it ain't a sweet savior. It ain't a sweet smell in the nose of the Most High. None of these offerings are a sweet smell in his nose. Okay? When a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance, underline, somewhat through ignorance, he did something through ignorance, any of the commandments, against any of the commandments of Yah, his Elohim, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if he has sinned, come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a small male of blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat. He, the king, shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they killed the burnt offerings before Yah. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of a burnt offering. And he shall burn all the fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through, underline, ignorance, while he does somewhat against any of the commandments of Yah concerning the things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. Now here we have, before it was a male, now here for the common person, a female. And he shall lay on his hand upon the head, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take the blood thereof with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto Yah. Now here's the common man. Here's this sin offering. The Most High says it's a sweet savor. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it by a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and shall slay it for a sin offering in the place where they killed the burnt offering. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away the fat thereof, and the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offering as the sacrifice. Wait a minute, let me read that again. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto Yah. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Now, I'm going to have to go back and reread this part about the sweet savor for the common man. So for the priest, for the king, for the elders, this wasn't a sweet savor in the eyes of, in the nose of the Most High. But for this common man, it is. That has significance in it. So I'll have to go back and reread that and pray on that. Why is that? Leviticus chapter 5. Verse 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness wherewith he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall surely bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing. Now, I want you to underline any unclean thing. Okay? Because this is one of the areas that I know today that the churches aren't teaching, the camps aren't teaching, except for, you know, you're not supposed to eat unclean, okay? But there's some laws concerning unclean as well that we need to be fully aware of, because they don't go away in the New Testament. Matter of fact, tells you that any unclean person cannot enter into the kingdom. So this is something that you have to pay very close attention to. Okay? Because, you know, what I found one of my brothers doing is saying, hey, he ain't talking about this stuff right here. He's talking about if you unclean in your mind, if you, you know, your thoughts. I said, brother, why are you adding to the scripture? Why are you trying to dissolve the law? And, you know, I said, in the spirit of it, yeah. I said, but there's still some physical things in the law that the Most High says, these things still apply. And it's not just a matter of your mind and in your heart. Because if you touch some of these things and you do it and you try to do something holy, the Most High says, uh-uh. So it's both aspects of it. All right, so, or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be carcass of unclean beast, or carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, or if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. This is a sin, okay? So, we read about the unclean beast, the unclean carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things. And if it be hidden from him, he also shall be guilty. He shall be unclean and guilty. Now let's go to verse 3. or if he touched the uncleanliness of man. Whatsoever uncleanliness it be, that man shall be defiled withal. And if it be hid from him when he know it, then shall he be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him when he knows it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, whether he pronounced, you know, he swore an oath and it was called upon him, or he didn't know and it was hid from him. Maybe somebody tricked him, or if he touched some unclean animal, or if he touched the uncleanness of man. Okay. It shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he has sinned. Sin in that thing. You see, a lot of people think being unclean is not a sin. But it is. And that's so like when, you know, one of the brothers was teaching, you know, to have sex on the Shabbat, that it was okay, that he didn't see nothing wrong with it. I'm like, brother, there's something wrong with that. And it's sin. You're unclean, and it's sin. And so you want to enter into the Shabbat committing sin. Okay, no, you can't do that. That's why we got to read this thing and know. We can't just go off our personal feelings because, you know, it seems right to us because that's what we want to do. We'll make it right because that's what we want to do. But the Most High don't play in these things. Okay? So we're getting into the cleanliness things, and I want us to pay particular attention because these things can go away not even today. We're just not, you know, people, number one, the world doesn't go by these rules. So you got all kind of unclean things going on, and people think that they're clean, but the Most High has said that they are unclean. And he didn't say nothing about, you know, no special clothing or no special pads, and this qualifies it or this does away with it. He didn't say none of that stuff. But people have made it to where they nullify the word of the Most High. And this being unclean is a sin. And so when we get into the New Testament, he tells you no unclean person shall enter into the kingdom. It's that big. Being unclean will keep you out of the kingdom. And if you don't know that you're not clean, and you think you're entering into the kingdom, a lot of us are, like I said, we are doing things that, and saying things and don't want anybody to tell us about it because we don't want to be condemned for doing what we want to do or living the way that we want to live. But the Most High said, these things are unclean and they are sin. So a lot of people running around here sinning and either through ignorance because they don't know or they don't care. But either way it goes, it's sin. And if they repent of it, the Most High says he'll forgive them because it was done in ignorance. But if they know, once they know and they keep doing it, then it's not in ignorance anymore. It's then willful sin. And for whatever the reason, people don't want to hear about willful sin. Tell them about willful sin, they tell you you're taking away their hopes. You're taking away their and I'm saying to them, I say, hey, I'm trying to get you straight so that you can at least repent. At least you can say you were ignorant. But you don't even want to hear that. Because the truth of the matter is, they want to continue doing what they've been doing and saying, I'm sorry. And the Most High is supposed to forgive them. Oh, I slipped. I fell again. The Most High is supposed to forgive them. And what they got to understand, no, he don't. And from everything I can see, no, he won't. Go read at your own leisure. Go read Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. Because he's speaking to us in these times in Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. He's speaking to our forefathers and their descendants. And the Most High says, I will not have mercy. But we think he's got to have mercy, but he's already told us, I will not have mercy. You did these things in my house, and I will not have mercy. And we're making it that he's got to have mercy. So I don't know what Elohim they're making up. I don't know what Elohim they are, you know, saying, this is who my Elohim is, because it ain't the Elohim that's in the Bible. And so, you know, we want to be mindful that he doesn't play. He's not going to say, okay, well, it was okay for you. If you were doing it in ignorance, he says, you're still guilty. But you were doing it in ignorance, and he can forgive that. And he will forgive that. But once you know, and you're doing it from a willful heart, he's like, no, I'm not forgiving that. That's why we wanted to underline ignorance. Because when we come into the New Testament, it's ignorance. He doesn't change. He doesn't cover it a whole lot because you're supposed to know. So when we are interpreting those scriptures in the New Testament and thinking that he's going to forgive everything always for all time, you are clearly in ignorance because you don't know him. And if you're taught and you reject it, then you have your day. You were taught. You were told. And we don't want to approach our Elohim he said, I want you to approach me in ignorance. I want you to approach me in truth and worship me in truth and in spirit. The day that you find out that you were ignorant, he says, then you're supposed to do what? Let's go back to verse 4 again, okay, so we can make sure we understand this. Because he's not changing. Let's go to verse 4. We're going to just get the gist of it so we understand. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knows it, then he shall be guilty of one of these three. It's always if he does it in ignorance and when he knows it, when he finds out. Okay. Then you're guilty and you're supposed to repent. You're supposed to turn away from it. If somebody tells you, you know that's a sin, don't you? And you were ignorant of it, you say, oh, no, it's not. I can do that. Or the Most High just going to have to forgive me for this. Then understand if that person is playing with their own salvation and they are putting themselves in the lake. Because they got a chance to repent and they refuse to hear it. Or if you tell them and they want to fight you on it hand and foot, teeth and nail, oh no, you are taking away my hope because the Most High is merciful. The Most High says he's going to have mercy on those that love him. And we don't want to hear that. He says, this is how I know you love me. You obey my voice. I'll have mercy on you. Anybody else? I'm not having mercy. So I'm believe him. I'm going to believe him. If he said, you know what, every time you sin, if you just say, I'm sorry, Most High, I know I've sinned against you, I'm sorry, forgive me, and I will forgive you, then that's exactly what I would teach. Everybody's human. Everybody falls. Everybody makes mistakes. But that's not what he's saying in this word. Then if you willfully do it, that changes your whole status with me. That changes your whole motivation with me. Because you knew better and you decided to do it anyway. You didn't do it in ignorance. You knew you weren't supposed to do that and you did it anyway. See, this is where the world is at. And this is what, you know, they don't want to hear. They don't want to be told that because they know. They know. Now, here's what gets me is, if you're told that and you can't find space for repentance, if you can't understand, whoa, wait a minute. I've been doing wickedness in the eyes of the Most High and can't repent, can't call yourself into accountability, then that tells me that there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. And you love wickedness. And you're trying to find every way you can to do wickedness but not be held accountable for it, like the Most High is some type of fool or something. So I just look at him. I'm like, okay, you've been told, though. You don't want life. You want to continue that death march. Okay. It's not on me. I've done what I'm supposed to do. So when we come into the new covenant, I want people to understand everything in the new is based upon the old. And you cannot understand the new or comprehend, you can't even comprehend it if you don't understand the old. You'll be making up stuff in the new. Because the Most High says, I change not. You think I'm going to let them willfully sin or not let them willfully sin in Torah? And I get into the New Testament, all of a sudden, unless you willfully sin and get away with it. I didn't change. So when we bring these things forward, I want each and every one of us to understand that the Elohim of the book is not the Elohim that they're teaching in the New Testament. And they have twisted this thing. Twisted it is what they've done. And so people want to be comfortable. You know what I'm comfortable with? Being right with the Most High. If I'm not right with the Most High, I ain't comfortable. And if he's telling me and showing me in his word that this is what I want done, and I know I've been contrary to that, trust me, I'm going to straighten up and do it that way. When I know better, I have to do better. I was in ignorance. But when I know better, trust me, I'm not going to seem ignorant. And neither should any of us. Neither should you allow people around you to do it. Because they're not going to be comfortable with it. And most of them are not. Trust me, they are not. Because we just want to do wickedness and keep doing it and just say, I'm sorry, and keep doing wickedness. But the Elohim we serve, trust me, he's not taking that. So they can think what they want to think, and they can think that they can walk in error all that they want. The Most High says you can believe a lie and be damned. Matter of fact, he says he will cause you to believe a lie and be damned. So I'm not going to be trying to convince people that they ought not be doing what they're doing. I'm going to tell them like he told me to tell them, and those that will hear will hear, and those that won't, they won't. And I'm not to feel guilty about it or to feel like, you know, I'm condemning anyone, because the words that I'm saying to you, they are life. And if you want to live and you know that you have been doing these things, then you need to stop, because you're no longer ignorant of it. Can't say nobody ever told me the truth about it. Whole different ballgame. We're going to stop here for this evening. We will pick this up on tomorrow morning. Because, you know, like I said, even the cleanliness laws, and we just brushed over them briefly, he defines these things are unclean. If you touch them, he didn't say eat them. He says if you touch them, you are unclean and you have sinned. And if you don't know that you touched it, when you find out that you touched it, you know you are guilty, then you know you have sinned. Okay, whether it was in ignorance or today, whether it's fully knowing it. But see, here it is again. Now, these things, being unclean is a sin. And if you were doing it in ignorance, the Most High will forgive you. But if you're doing it willfully, it falls up under the same thing. So you got a lot of people want to eat unclean. When they find out that it's unclean, that it's, maybe they just say it's unclean. But the Most High says it's sin. So all those people who know they're not supposed to be eating pork because they know that it's unclean to the, against the laws of the Most High, they continue to do it. Or shrimp or anything unclean like that, but they want to keep doing it, it's sin to them, and it's willful sin. Willful, because they know. All right, let us bow our heads. We'll pick this up in the morning, because I get started on another rabbit hole. And I will find the verse about you can't slaughter, no sacrifice away from the temple, the tabernacle door, when the temple was built away from the temple door. Okay? Let's bow our head. Father Yah, Father, we come before you. Father, your word is just so rich and just so good. And Father, we just love every minute that we learn to know what you expect, that we might not be ignorant of your ways, that we might not sin against you in ignorance, and that we definitely shall not sin against you willfully. Father, but if we do anything in ignorance, when we find out about it, we repent of it and turn away from it. And you are true and just to forgive us. That's what your word says. If we do it in ignorance, we acknowledge it that you will forgive us. Father, when we read about what you will do for intentional sin, then I pray that we accept your verdict and that we understand that you are a forgiving Elohim as long as we are not willfully disobedient. That you will forgive all our trespasses that we do in ignorance. But we find that when we are willful, when we are defiant, when we want to throw it in your face, yeah, I know this wrong, and do it anyway. But you ain't so tolerant. So, Father, we thank you for allowing us to see and allowing us to hear and allowing us to amend our ways that we might not walk circumspect towards you, but that we are able to walk in peace with you because we hear your voice and we obey you, Father. As we learn, Father, all those who are ignorant, as they learn, Father, let them turn from their ignorant ways. Let them confess their sins and understand that you are true and just to forgive them. But if they be practicing willful sin, Father, convict them and let them know that they are now in the hands of mercy. And you have said that you will have mercy on whom you will have mercy, and whom you will harden, you will harden. And that you will It is on you. That person just needs to throw themselves at your feet and serve you with everything that they have. Because they don't know. Father, we pray that you cover each and every person. That you see to their needs, Father. That you bless them. That you give them a heart to make offerings unto you, that are worthy, just because they love you. And they want to be a sweet savior, a sweet smell in your nostrils. All these things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Tomorrow morning we will continue this. I pray that you all are able to attend. If you've been offended, I can't say I'm sorry, because Yah does not want us doing whatever we want to do. So if you've been offended, however I might have presented it, I have presented you the word of the Most High. And it's not up to me to tickle your ears. It's up to me to give you the truth and to put it in such a way that you are able to see it clearly. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to believe it. But understand that Yah will hold you accountable. When it comes to serving these other Elohims, whether through ignorance or whether we, you know, just want to do our own things, trust me, worship Yah and Him alone. Don't even make room for anything else to even creep in. Don't give glory or anything else to anything else other than Yah, to anyone else other than the Most High. You're safer that way. May the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, I really do. But I cannot love you like Yah Elohim loves you. Shalom.
Without you, there's no me. I need a hand.
cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.